Ching, ching, bling, bling. Let's cut the chatter. What's on the agenda today? Oktoberfest, October fun. Welcome to the Tucci Talks Wealth, Health, and Everything Else podcast. I'm your host, David Tucci, an educator, a father of three. Join me as I take you on a funky journey through life, from a reckless young man to a humbled older man. Each week, I will offer different insights on my life experiences and the experiences of others, and how that has shaped our present-day realities. So let's begin our funky journey into improving our health, wealth, and you guessed it, everything else. Just to listen to an episode of Tucci Talks. Oh yeah, it's Monday. Oh yeah, it's Monday. Oh, it's Monday. Yeah, it's Monday. So let's start the show. Oh yeah, welcome to another episode of Tucci Talks. I'm fired up. I am fired up today because we have a special Oktoberfest edition, so we are going to strive to have some fun today. As always, I'm your host, David Tucci, and we have another week with no shout-out. We continue the zigzag pattern of off, then on, then off again. So this week's Crazy Karaoke has an Oktoberfest-type feel. And I remember that song from the movie Benny and June with Johnny Depp. So there is your clue for this week. Email me your answer to your crazy karaoke, david@TucciTalks75.com, or get in touch with me through social media at TucciTalks75. Let's get back on track. Please give the podcast a like or a review. I appreciate the listeners very much, and I'm happy that many are enjoying the podcast, and thank you for your feedback. So let's recap last week's episode where Maureen shared her tales of parenting during a pandemic. What did I learn from having Maureen on the podcast last week? Do not have four kids 2 years apart from each other. If you do decide to have four kids, make sure they are not all boys. There must be a girl interspersed somewhere. If you do decide to have four boys that are 2 years apart from each other with no girl interspersed, make sure a worldwide pandemic doesn't occur when the kids are all under 8 years old. If you do decide to have four boys that are 2 years apart with no female interspersed and a worldwide pandemic hits while your four boys are all under eight, make sure your house is not made out of paper. I think that about covers it. So a big thank you to Maureen for being such a trooper. My next guest has been a frequent contributor to Tucci Talks. This is his fourth appearance on the podcast, second time as a guest. I always appreciate his contributions and his willingness to share his stories to particular topics that he has a passion for. So without wasting any more time, let's welcome once again Tony Rick to Tucci Talks. Welcome to Tucci Talks. Thanks for joining me again.
Thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here again.
You know, I got to say, when I think Oktoberfest, I think beer. When I think beer, I think Tony Rick.
Well, I'm not sure if that's a good thing or not, but I'll take it as a compliment.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being very much so, what level of beer connoisseur would you say you are?
Oh, wow. Good question. 6.5.
Really?
Yeah.
Like for me, you're way, I guess, because you're the expert. But to me, you're an expert. No, I hear the way you talk about beer. Remember, I remember we did a Christmas party where we usually would go and stay over, and we were in one of the hotels in Toronto, and you were asking me, do you smell banana? Do you smell rusted leaves? And I was like, you know what? Actually, now that you mention it, I kind of do.
Yeah. Okay. But as far as knowledge and different tastes, there's people out there. Oh, just they're
listening. Have you encountered those people?
Yeah. Some of them.
You have.
Yeah. I remember going to a restaurant once with my family and my in-laws, and I had ordered a craft beer, and my server, I think, was, I don't even remember what beer it was. I asked him what beers they have on tap. He told me what beers they had on tap, and I chose one that I wanted, and he was, I guess, impressed with my selection. He goes, you like craft beer? Like you into beer? I go, yeah, I really like, you know, I told him some beers I really like, my Belgian Trappists, my Belgian Strongs. And then he starts going off and how he ends up homebrewing his sours and how he's won competitions by homebrewing particular sours. And he got into the specifics of it. And I'm thinking, this man knows his stuff. I mean, he knows what he's talking about. Yeah, so I've met a few people at different beer festivals we go to and different breweries that we might frequent every once in a while. There's people there that really, really know their stuff.
So there's a real art to this, because you told, like, I would never have thought of the idea of rusted leaves until you mentioned that. When we were at that hotel, I was like, rusted leaves. That's interesting.
But that's just taste. I mean, the good thing about beer is to be, it sounds weird, but to be 100% honest, is taste is kind of in the eye of the beholder. Complex beers are just that. They're, if you're drinking a Coors Light and I ask you, just think about it. How does it taste? Like, okay. What do you think? What are you going to say? You might say like beer or.
Yeah. I wouldn't even know what to say.
Like bread, maybe like a wet cracker, I guess. I don't know.
Right, right.
But if I give you a nice imperial stout and say, now tell me what you think, you're going to try this and go, holy, I think I taste coffee. I think I taste cognac. I think I taste chocolate. Like, it's very complex. So there's no really right or wrong answers as far as what the taste is. But just having tasted different types in that particular genre of beer, that's what I find impressive. Not trying to be able to distinguish the taste. Anybody can do that. It's a personal thing.
Right.
So if I ask you, Dave, you know, give me an example of an imperial stout that you like. You won't know.
Not at all.
No, you won't know. But I can ask people who are into beer, give me an example of an imperial stout that you like, and they might rhyme off 15 of them because they've tasted a whole bunch of them.
Fair enough. Yeah. So we are in episode number 17.
Congratulations.
Thank you. This wasn't intentional, but is it coincidental that we are in episode 17 and we are talking about beer and Oktoberfest? When 17 is a big number in your life, why is 17 a big number in your life?
17 is a big number in my life?
Yeah, for especially if it's the month of March.
March 17th?
Yeah.
Because it's Christmas?
That is correct. Is that not your Christmas?
100% is my Christmas.
Explain to the listeners.
Is there another Christmas?
explain to the listeners why March 17th is your Christmas.
So March 17th is It's a holiday. Holiday on the calendar. The holiday is called St. Patrick's Day. And during this holiday, people want to drink a lot of beer.
Yes.
And I celebrate. I celebrate Christmas on March 17th by drinking a lot of beer. March 18th doesn't feel too good.
Right, right. But it's a holiday around the world, though. It's a big holiday around the world.
It is. It is. Now, from what I've heard, actually, is that where it originated in Ireland, it's actually not as, I might be wrong here, but it's actually not as celebrated in Ireland as it is in North America. North America kind of, like North America does for everything, kind of, implemented their own twist to it and commercialized it.
And magnified it.
Huge. Commercialized it.
Yeah.
So now it's a big thing where people make money off of it. Right?
Yeah. And even in the U.S., because we went to St. Patty's Day for March Madness in the U.S. was massive.
We did. And I don't know if you recall, we were in Chicago.
Yeah.
Many years ago.
Yeah.
That was not for March Madness. We were just in Chicago
March Madness. We went for March Madness.
And the river is dyed green.
Oh yeah, I don't know about that.
Like, they dye the rivers green.
Yeah, I remember that March Madness because it was 2006, and you and I made a bet about.
Number one seed losing to number.
Yeah,
six seed.
And we made a bet that I said a one seed would never ever lose to a 16th seed, but we gave ourselves 30 years.
Who won that bet?
You won that bet last year.
West Virginia, baby.
No, it was Virginia, not West Virginia.
Oh, Virginia.
Virginia lost.
And then the next year they go and win it all.
Crazy. So let's get into this episode.
Yes.
And this episode title is Oktoberfest, October Fun. Excellent. Do you know where the official Oktoberfest festival takes place?
I'm assuming it's in Munich.
Yeah, it is in Munich.
Yeah.
And have you been to an Oktoberfest festival here in Ontario, Canada?
So one of the bigger Oktoberfest festivals is in Kitchener. I have never been to that one. If not the biggest.
It's in Canada, it's in Kitchener?
It's in Kitchener. So I've never been to that one. I heard it's big and excellent. I've never been to the one in... So one of my beer bucket lists, I crossed one off, a huge one I crossed off 2 years ago, which we'll probably get into later, about going to Belgium.
Okay.
One of my beer bucket lists is to go to actual Oktoberfest in Munich. Unfortunately, I've never been. I want to go with COVID. COVID this year, Oktoberfest is canceled for the first time I as far as I know ever. So they canceled Oktoberfest. It's no longer occurring. I don't know when this next time it's going to occur, but it's on my beer bucket list. But I've never gone to the Oktoberfest in Kitchener, but I've gone to several Oktoberfest celebrations within the city. So they're basically like beer festivals within the city.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Now, you're saying what you want to cross off your bucket list is actually going to Munich.
Going to Munich.
Right, right. Okay.
Yeah, going to
Munich. Wow, that would be massive. Wouldn't that be a massive party?
Oh, huge. Like one tent. So it goes on for... 2 weeks, I believe, 2 weeks, and there are 6 million people that end up visiting Oktoberfest. 6 million. So get this, okay? So 6 million people in 2 weeks. There's 6,000 people per tent, Dave. 6,000 people per tent. So what I think I know is 6 million people visit. They drink 8 million liters of beer.
That's ridiculous.
So, but buddy, think about that. 6 million people visit. And there's 8 million liters. A liter is not an insignificant amount. Now, out of those 6 million people, I'm not sure how many drink 0 liters, but I would assume that there's some non-drinkers there because Oktoberfest is filled with carnivals, rides. It's a big kids thing too. It's not only drinking. It's a big kids thing. It's listening to music.
Right. So you're asking me to do quick math, and there's about 2 million liters that are unaccounted for or that people have to make up.
Not to mention the kids out there are not drinking a liter of beer.
Correct.
Like you have a 7-year-old, they're counting the 6 million people, but that 7-year-old's not drinking a liter of beer. So the people who are actually drinking beer,
they're consuming a lot.
Oh yeah.
Suffice to say.
Oh, yeah.
You went to Teachers College at Western back in the day.
Yes.
So London, Ontario is considered a university kind of party town. Did you go to an Oktoberfest party there?
We went a house party.
Was it like an Oktoberfest?
It was an Oktoberfest theme. It was more of an excuse just to drink. It was a house party.
Right. Oh, okay.
With an Oktoberfest theme, but not an actual Oktoberfest celebration held in London. I haven't gone to that.
So you would you're saying that there was an Oktoberfest party in London. You just didn't go to it. You went to
I did not attend it. I'm sure there's several Oktoberfest parties in London, but I didn't attend any while I was in Western. I attended several Oktoberfest house parties. There were good times, but they weren't exactly. But I mean, the Oktoberfest house parties were the same as the November house parties in the
Got September. You. Yeah, yeah. So nothing different that stood out.
No, that's right.
So you mentioned earlier at the restaurant that you were impressed by the individual who brewed his own beer.
Very impressed.
Have you ever brewed your own beer?
I have. So I have.
You want to share that a little bit and maybe that experience?
Sure. So I didn't really know what I was doing. This was 4 years ago. I only brewed about 8 500-milliliter bottles. So what I ended up getting was only about 8 500-mil bottles. So basically I had a kit. My brother had bought it for me. It came with the fermenter. It came with, the hops, it came with the malts, like the grains that you use, and instructions. I had to get the pots, the pans, and everything, and I basically started from scratch, did it at home, hoped that I was doing it right. I was looking at stuff and hoped that I was doing it right. I did my research, and at the end, after I bottled it, so I bottled it in plastic containers that are twist off.
Oh, okay.
So, but not like a beer bottle, like a pop bottle.
Okay.
Like a plastic pop bottle with a pop bottle lid. So not the greatest, but it was cheap. Because you don't want oxygen getting into your beer. And just turning a plastic cap.
Doesn't seal it enough. Yeah.
Right. So which means it's not going to last that long.
But you knew that.
I knew that, right. But it was cheap. And I didn't have a mechanism by which to buy bottles and secure caps onto the bottle. Like I don't have that. So I just bought the plastic bottles with the caps, put the cap on. And when I first you have to store it in a cool, dark place for about a week. Once it's in the bottle, you have to store it in a cool, dark place for about a week before you can actually drink it. So the first one I drank, popped it open, put it in a glass, and I'm looking at it. By the way, you never drink beer from a bottle. Never ever drink. So if you ever go out, you never drink beer from, always pour it in a glass. Pour in a glass.
You know what? That's good. That's good for people to hear.
Pour in a glass and smell it. See how it smells. Like really determine the smell and then taste it and see if the taste matches the smell. See if you can kind of say what it tastes like.
Yeah. But if somebody who's listening is like, this guy is a 6.5 out of 10 connoisseur. I got to listen to him.
Well, I'm a 6.5 basically out of 10 compared to
what, you know? Yeah.
Compared to some of the guys that I hang out with, like if I were to end up comparing myself
to the average person
or to people I know personally, okay, I'm comparing myself to like the people who I think would be a 9 out of 10. They're master brewers in breweries.
Okay, fair enough.
And they're tens, like they know their stuff. So I'm comparing myself to them. If I compare myself to my group of friends or people at my place of work, then I'm a 9 out of 10.
So you have enough street cred to tell people, pour it in a glass.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. Pour it in a glass, smell it, and then taste it.
So does the fact that you pour it in a glass, does that enhance the taste? And does the glass matter?
Yes. So the glass does matter. So the glass is – and on some beers, they actually tell you what glass you're supposed to use to pour it in. Like Belgian Trappist, you're supposed to use a chalice to pour it in. So it does matter because it opens the beer up. Let it warm a little bit. Let it warm because if it's cold, you don't really taste the taste of it. So you let it warm a little bit in order to get the full flavor. But the glass actually opens it up and you get the full flavor after it warms a little bit.
So I would, if I would partake in a beer and put in a glass and I'm at an establishment, I would ask for a frosted glass. Am I doing the wrong thing?
Oh, that's terrible.
So why does it taste delicious when you frost
it? Because we're drinking things. Because if you go to an establishment, you're not going to a good beer establishment. You're going to a pub that sells, Bud or nothing against the macro brews, but Bud or Canadian or Coors Light and stuff. And you don't really, they're not very complex. So it doesn't matter whether you're trying them cold or warm. In fact, if you're trying them cold, it kind of eliminates the very sweet, bad taste that they have when they warm. But if you're trying a good complex beer warm, now you're getting warmer. Now you're getting the full flavor of that good complex beer. You don't want to be doing that with a macro brewed beer like Labatt or Coors Light or Molson.
Fair enough. So if I go to more of a complex beer, I'm cheating myself if I don't let it get a little bit warmer.
A little bit warmer, correct. Correct. And on a lot of the glasses, if you take a look, not the glasses, sorry, a lot of the bottles, if you take a look at the bottles that the beer comes in, it will tell you what temperature to serve it at.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of them tell you what temperature to serve the beer at. You may have never noticed. So the one I'm looking at now doesn't say anything, but you may have never noticed, but some of the beers, they tell you what temperature to serve it at. Yeah.
Where though, on the bottle?
On the back of the bottle, it will tell you some information about the beer. It might tell you what type of glassware to serve it in.
Okay, you're having a beer right now, yeah?
Yep.
Can you tell the listeners, like, what can they expect if they turn the bottle?
So I'm having what's called a goose right now.
Okay.
A goose is kind of like, it's a tart, light-colored beer.
Okay.
The best way I would kind of explain it is it's kind of akin to champagne.
Okay.
So yeah. I have it in a champagne flute. So if you take a look at the color of it, it's...
And just to let less listeners know, you're showing me the glass, the flute I'm glass, showing, and you're showing me the color right now.
And the color of it. So you're looking at the color of it. It's a straw-colored beer.
Yeah.
It's not clear. It's not dark. It's a straw-colored beer. You taste it and smell it. It actually smells like tart. You smell tartness. You taste it, and it will taste kind of like a Granny Smith apple type thing.
That's a good description. What does it say on the back of the bottle?
So on the back of this bottle,
if they wanted to look at it.
On the back of this bottle, it tells you the expiration date.
Okay.
Tells you, so this bottle doesn't tell you what glassware to serve it at or the temperature. It tells you how big, and it tells you the alcohol. And it tells you the awards that the brewer has won. This is a Belgian beer. It's a World's Beer Award Gold in this particular category. So it's certified Belgian. It has this symbol on it that's certifiable Belgium. Okay. And it's 6%. And the actual maturation date is November 2025. So the expiration date is November 2025.
Means it could stay there until that time.
Even if you have it afterwards, who cares?
Right. So right. let's get into Belgium then. And your experience. Yeah. I want you to share that experience because you said earlier, I'm sure we're going to get into it. And I know that you went to Belgium. And is the city, how do you pronounce the city? Genk?
Ghent. G-H-E-N-T. Ghent.
Okay, Ghent. Now, is there a huge beer festival there? I remember one time you were telling me a story. I was over your house in the summer with the kids. And you were talking about that they don't even have hotels to house these people. It's a small town. And there's people that sleep on the streets and the sidewalks.
Yeah. So yeah, it's true. So we went to three cities in Belgium. So we went to Bruges.
Wait, what year was this?
This was two summers ago. So the summer of 2019. And thank goodness we end up doing it then because who knows
when the next. Yeah, yeah.
You know, like fast forward to
absolutely.
2020, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we went to Bruges, Ghent and Brussels. So basically the Ghent Fest is a festival which it's beer is not the main thing in the festival. Music is. It just happens. It just happens that it's in Ghent, Belgium, and beer is like the main thing in Belgium.
What kind of music is the festival?
Anything. There's tents set up all over the city, and you basically walk into a tent, and they have different live music being played.
Oh, in each individual tent?
In each individual tent. So the tents house maybe 300 people. Like the big tents house 300 to 400 people. The small tents will house 50 people. And basically in every nook and cranny in Ghent, there's different musicians, live music happening, and people pass by and they'll listen, they'll order a beer, they'll walk on the street with beer, they'll listen.
So in that festival. In that tent, you have a cashier that will take payment, buy beer. It's like having bar there. It's a little bar.
Yeah. So you have a tent around with seats in it. Around the tent, there's serving stations, and there's servers. So either you walk up to one of the serving stations and order a beer and pay, or servers will come and ask you if you'd like anything. They bring it back to you and you pay them.
That sounds like that sounds awesome. It really does.
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. So, but what was awesome about it is you're there and everyone's drinking like crazy. So this festival, from what I gathered while I was there, it's mostly for Belgians. There's people that come from different parts of Europe as well, but it's mostly from Belgians. So Belgium has this awesome train system where you can get from one side of the country to another basically in an hour on one train, and it's cheap. So people from Brussels, people from Bruges, people from all over Belgium are accumulating into Ghent, and this place is packed. Ghent is packed, and people are literally just going there for the day. They might sleep over
anywhere,
doesn't matter, but they're just coming there for the day, and then they go home at night, and they might come back the next day and go home at night. And what's awesome is everybody is drinking like crazy. And Dave, when I'm saying you're at the tent and you're ordering a beer, I mean, you go to a place over here, you're at the tent and you order a beer. You're going to order, like we order a beer when we go to a game, to watch a game, a Blue Jay game or something like that.
Right.
We get Molson Canadian. You're at a tent over there and you order a beer and you get Pirat, or Duvel, which is ridiculous ridiculously tasting 9% Belgian beer. 9% Belgian beer. It's ridiculous. It's so good and so tasty. But and everybody is just drinking like crazy, but nobody is fighting, nobody's swearing, nobody's belligerent, nobody's staggering.
Wow.
It's just fun.
So is it true though that you said about the if they're trying to get a hotel, they can't find one, they're sleeping on the street because they may not want to go home and they want to go the next day?
Yeah, or they may have driven there. So what a lot of people do, a ton of people, I couldn't believe, is biking is massive there. The country's not that big, so people will bike from one spot to another. They'll end up parking their bikes along the street or in these parking lots, like literally. It's a parking lot filled with 5,000 bikes. I have no idea how people find their bikes. No idea. 5,000 bikes. They're packed on top of each other. There's two stories of bikes. I don't know.
How do you find your bike?
You probably find it days later. I have no idea. They don't care. They'll just put their bikes anywhere. So
that sounds like a spectacle in and of itself.
We got off the train. The first thing I noticed is there's not that many cars, but there's parking lots filled with thousands and thousands and thousands of bikes in front of you. And then you look to the left and there's another parking lot. Like, I'm not saying a small parking lot. I'm saying the size of a soccer field filled with thousands of bikes. They're all over. The bikes are all over. I'm thinking, the first thing I thought is, how do you find your bike? I have no idea. So people are biking from all over the place. And what I noticed is at the end of the night, they're way too drunk to bike home.
Right.
Yeah. So they either get together with friends that they know there, or they'll just party all night and sleep on a bench or something.
So I'm sure it's great for the economy.
Oh yeah. Oh, amazing.
Like what's the average price of a beer, which you said is unbelievably great tasting?
Unbelievable. I would say like like crazy good. I would say.
So what's the average price?
€3 to €4.
Oh, okay. That's great.
That's great. So a beer that you get over there for maybe €3.50, you're getting over here at a good beer establishment for probably about $10.
Okay. So let's, before I forget, give the listeners maybe some beers they can try if they went to the LCBO.
Oh,
so, I think that would be of good value. Maybe you can offer them some good beers that they can try.
Yeah. So the LCBO is our version of it's the only place, well, kind of the only place in Ontario for people who listen out of the country that you can buy alcohol. So okay. We have this store called the LCBO, and you can't buy alcohol anywhere else other than in this one store called the LCBO. Right. So that's basically how it is for us. Because people in Europe, you could buy alcohol anywhere. You go to a convenience store and buy alcohol, but we can't do that here, right?
And they could do that in the U.S. as well.
And you can do that in the U.S. as well, but we only have these specific stores called the LCBO where you can go buy alcohol.
Except now grocery stores, there's some beer, but I don't think the variety is.
They're getting better. They're not bad.
Are they?
They're not bad, but they sell. So there's a bit, first of all, as far as the LCBO goes, so some of the excellent foreign beers that they have, they're excellent. They have an excellent selection of Belgians. So specifically Belgian Trappist beers. So if you want to get into good, very strong Belgian beers, I would recommend a beer called Rochefort, Rochefort.
Okay, I'll put that on the website.
Rochefort, it's 8 and 10. And I would recommend a beer called Chimay. So Chimay has Chimay. So there's different colors. There's white, there's red, and there's blue. And you can also try a beer from Netherlands. It's another Trappist beer called La Trappe. So all of these are very, very strong. They're Trappist, meaning they're brewed in a monastery under strict supervision of monks. So there's only 12 Trappist breweries in the world. But if you try a Rochefort, a Chimay, or a La Trappe, especially Rochefort and Chimay, they're Belgium, you can't go wrong. Amazing.
Yeah, that's what I want. That's what I wanted to get from it. That's the value that you could deliver for at least anybody who's listening and say, I think I'm gonna go try that at the LCBO.
Amazing. Another excellent Belgian beer, which is you can get in most LCBOs, is Duvel. So it's called the Devil. It's a Belgian triple. It's strong as well. I believe it's bordering on 8%, maybe.
Okay.
But it's not a dark colored beer. So Rochefort and Chimay are very dark. Duvel is very light. It's a very hazy type beer. It's very light colored, but man, it packs a punch. Excellent, excellent beer. And lastly, if you want like a great beer, another Belgian called Saint Bernardus. It has a picture of a monk on the bottle. It's a picture of a monk on the bottle, like a balding monk. It's called Saint Bernardus. 10%, 10.2%. You try it. Spectacular. You do not taste the booze in it. Spectacular.
Now you went to Montreal. We went on a trip where we did did a microbrewery.
Yeah, we went
a tour. Is it different? Like in going to different cities? Cause we went to actually a microbrewing. They were brewing the beer on site.
Yeah. So we went to a brewery called Dieu de Ciel.
Right.
Dieu de Ciel. Excellent. Excellent brewery.
So if anybody's in Montreal, everybody visits in the future, go to that, you're saying. You highly recommend it.
Dieu de Ciel. Yeah. Highly recommend it. They, especially now, because their signature beer is an imperial stout called Pêche Mortelle. It's 10 plus, I believe 10.2%.
Pêche Mortelle. I remember you brought that back.
I packed my suitcase with it, man. I threw out some of my clothes.
Right, because that's the only place you're going to find it.
Yeah, once in a while, you might find it in the LCBO here. It is so, actually, Pêche Mortelle, you might not. You might find Aphrodite here, which is also a Dieu de Ciel beer. Excellent too. Excellent, excellent. Dark beer, very strong. But yeah, excellent brewery. But to answer your question, the breweries are the same here and there. It's the difference is, that some of the breweries, some of the beers are better than others. Like some breweries are better than other breweries. So just because you go to an Ontario craft brewery, you might go to brewery A and brewery B and have a complete completely different, I'm not going to say style of beer. The styles of beer might be better, but A might be way better than B. So we have some excellent, excellent breweries here in Toronto. But I find in general, maybe because I've just tasted the better ones in Quebec, I find in general the ones in Quebec are tastier. But again, I haven't sampled any of the poor brewers in Quebec. I'm sure they have them as well.
Right, right.
But the ones I've sampled, the ones I know about, are the upper echelon brewers. That's why I'll go to them.
So what do you think about like a Guinness?
Because
a lot of people, I don't know, a lot of people talk about this.
Yeah, so a Guinness is a typical stout. I like stouts. I don't like them. What's weird about me, I don't know about other people. What's really weird about me is I found myself in the last few years, like I've only gone into beer for the last, it might sound like a long time, but I think I've only gotten into beer for maybe 12 years.
Okay.
But some people have been into beer their whole life. There's literally like, it's odd. It's like an underground society that really, really goes from one spot to the next, one festival to the next, and they're really, really into trying to get their hands on different rare beers that you can't get your hands on here. So you might be like, you might go to a festival and they might have a one-off beer that's only brewed specifically for that festival, will never be brewed again. And that's what people go for, right?
Right, right.
As far as Guinness goes, it's a stout. It's okay. I would find it as a decent stout. I'll drink it still. I'll find it as a decent stout. But again, my taste change. I would never have it in the summer. I don't know why. It's a very dark beer. Fall and winter is when I'll drink dark beers. In the summer, I'll have my sours and light colored like lagers and pilsners type thing.
In the summer.
So lighter and sour in the summer, darker, heavier in the winter.
Why is that? Someone like me who has no clue.
Because the lighter sour beers, they're like refreshing.
Got you. Yeah.
They're refreshing. The darker stout beers are, they're heartier, they're fuller, they're heavier.
Got you.
Which you don't want to be cutting the grass or being outside in 35 degree weather with a really heavy boozy beer in your hand. Don't get me wrong. I like it all the time, but if I had a choice, I would rather like my light, refreshing beers, fruitier beers in the summer, and then have my darker, heavy imperial stouts in the winter.
So you would have a Guinness in the winter is what you're saying?
In the fall, winter, right on.
Right. Makes sense. Right on. Yeah. Do you plan on brewing a beer, get your beer again? Oh, you never mentioned. How did it taste? How did you find?
Yeah. So I poured it in a glass. Because we got off topic and poured in a glass.
That was a huge tangent. That was a huge tangent.
Huge tangent. We just talked about stuff. So you pour it in a glass and you're looking at it. You evaluate. First thing is look at it. Like look to see how it looks. Is it clear? Is it amber? Is it red? Is it dark? Is it transparent? Is it very, very hazy, translucent? See how it looks. You smell it, see how it smells, and you taste it. See how it tastes. So as soon as I looked at it, I'm thinking it's a dark amber color, but it looked really with enough head to make it look nice.
Right.
And I go,
right.
Wow, my first and only attempt at brewing beer. I go, this looks really nice. It looks really nice. I smelled it. I go, holy smokes. It smells. Now I used all of the malts that came in the kit and I only have a 1.5 gallon fermenter. So the more malt you use, the more sugar there is for the yeast to end up eating and the more alcohol is created.
Okay.
So I used all the malts, thinking I was supposed to use all the malts. And my fermenter is pretty small. I found out afterwards that the malt that I used were probably good for a 4-gallon fermenter, not a 1.5 gallon fermenter. So I almost quadrupled the amount of malts in my beer. So I'm smelling it and I'm thinking, oh wow, this smells really good. It smells boozy and really good. And I go, I don't want to be biased because I made it. So I don't want to be biased. But even if this sucks, I'm drinking it all. I don't care.
Right, right.
Because I'm going to drink it all because I made it. I tasted it. Dave, it was fabulous. It was so good. It was.
Did you share it with anybody?
I did.
Oh, you did. Okay.
I did. I shared it with a few people. Yeah, like with guys that I drink with, right?
Yeah.
And I go, listen, I don't care if you think it sucks. Just tell me if you think it sucks.
Yeah.
And they, because I want to know I'm still going to drink it all, even if you think it sucks. I don't care. Yeah. And they tried it and they said, wow, this is actually really good. It's really good. The only problem that I noticed was, and I don't know why, maybe it's the twist cap, maybe it's because, I don't know why, is that it seemed like after 2 weeks, it started to get a little skunky.
Right.
So I think maybe because I have a twist cap, oxygen and air gets in and it changes the profile and ends up making it bad. So if you're using like the system I use, which is cheap, and it's just a twist cap in a plastic bottle, in a plastic jar, you have to finish the beers quick or they're going to go skunky relatively quick. Right.
Right. So did you have to throw any?
Hell no. No, I drank them all.
Yeah.
But I have to admit, like the last beer I had, I didn't want.
Right.
But I figured because I brewed it, I'm not going to dump it anyways.
Why did you say about the malts that it was over concentrated? Why did you add that in? Is that the reason why you think it tasted better?
No. So I went to ask a guy afterwards. So I like a place that a person who knows his stuff, because he's done like a whole bunch of home brewing sessions. And I said, listen, I use this much malts for this big a fermenter. He goes, oh, it was probably really boozy. I go, it tasted pretty boozy. He goes, your beer was probably 9% because I used that much malts for a smaller.
Right. So if you want more alcohol content, you just increase the malts.
You increase the malts, right?
Right. Yeah. So do you think it's time to move into our guess what segment, or do you have anything else you think you can add of value?
Yeah. So yeah, I have some other things. So you asked me about, you know, what do I think as far as my connoisseurness is concerned.
Right. Right.
I said, I think I'm a 6.5 compared to guys who I know who are 10s.
Right.
But compared to, like, no offense, like my friends, I'm probably like a 9.
Yeah. To me, you're actually 9.5.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Appreciate that. Not looks, my knowledge of beer. So I came up with a beer top five, my top five beers.
Awesome. I like that.
It took me a while to come up with them. You want to hear them?
Absolutely. Well, of course. I think that's okay. Value there.
So my, I'll go from 5 to 1.
And give a reason why, right?
And give a reason why. So my fifth best beer is a beer. It's a Trappist beer. It's a Belgian Trappist, very, very strong. It's a Belgian quad, very strong. I believe it's 11%. It's called West Vleteren 12.
Okay.
So we tried it. One regular sized bottle costs in a, you can't buy an LCBO. So it's made by monks. It's very rare. It's very difficult to get. So because it's rare, it's very expensive and people will kind of overrate it. So maybe I'm kind of overrating it as well, but I thought it was awesome when I tried it. West Vleteren 12. So one bottle costs about $30.
And what's the bottle? How many mils?
Oh, you're looking at 355. Like a.
Oh, wow. That's not a lot.
No, it's not a lot. No. You're looking at, 300, 355, whatever it's sold in. So you're not even supposed to. So what's cool about it is if you buy it in a store, not in a store, if you buy it in a good beer establishment, if they have it, which they probably don't, if they have it, then they'll pop. They're not supposed to give you the bottle. So I have a bottle at home because I asked the guy if I can get the bottle.
Right.
He goes, I'm not supposed to give it to you. I go, please, can I get the bottle, please? He gave it to me and I took it home, but they give you the cap. So it's that rare that the cap is a pretty cool.
That's your keepsake.
A keepsake, a memento of having that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So West Vleteren 12.
Before I forget, what does the color of the bottle matter?
No.
So why do they do it? Like brown, green?
As far
is this
as
just
I know,
marketing?
Yeah, as far as I know, it's just marketing, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
As far as I know.
Right.
So West Vleteren 12 would be number 5 on the list. Very, very expensive. Many years ago, I remember watching or listening to the news well before I was into beer. I was probably first year university, maybe.
Okay.
so the belt, the West Lutheran monks were doing renovations on their monastery. So they ended up making more of the beer to sell so that they could get money to fund the renovations. One six pack cost $90.
Canadian,
$90 okay. Canadian. They sold out before they actually hit the LCBO.
Wow. Like so demand is huge.
Huge. Normal people couldn't get it. So people who worked in the LCBO would tell their friends, it's coming. Okay, I'm going to buy it, reserve it. I'm going to buy it, reserve it. It didn't even hit the LCBO.
I bet there was a secondary market.
Oh, there's huge secondary markets. You go online, I can sell a bottle of beer that I have in my fridge. Some bottles of beer that I have in my fridge right now, buddy. One bottle in particular, it's my number two on my list. I can probably sell $300.
One bottle.
One 500 ml bottle.
Right. Okay, continue with the list.
Okay, so number four on the list is a Belgian beer called Timmermans Lambic de. So it's a lambic, which means it's a beer that's fermented with wild yeast. So they keep it outside, and the yeast in the air, because yeast is everywhere, the yeast in the air is actually fermenting the beer. So you don't, it's spontaneous. So right. you don't add brewer's yeast to it. It's just the natural yeast that's inside the air, which will ferment the beer. And it's awesome. So the different strains of yeasts in different spots will determine the taste of that particular beer.
Wow.
And that was the last beer that I had was in Belgium. And it was awesome. So Timmermans Lambic de, number three. It's a beer called Sticky Monkey from a brewery called Firestone Walker from the States. So my brother, who's in California, he ended up sending me this beer. I had no idea what to expect. Tried the beer. Massive, massive beer. Very, very, very strong. 11%. Again, Belgian quad. Awesome beer. Sticky Monkey from Firestone Walker. Number two, it's a beer from Samuel Adams. You may have heard of that.
Milwaukee?
Boston.
Oh, Boston. Sorry.
Boston Brewery. Sam Adams in the U.S. It's a beer called Utopias. So Utopias is, so it's not a 500 ml. So it's a one liter bottle that I have at home, here at home in my basement. So Utopias is brewed once every other year. It's so rare that they stamp the bottom of the bottle. The bottle's like a porcelain bottle, but it's kind of coated with gold. It's,
wow. Like
Google the bottle of Utopias. It's incredible. You look at this bottle, you're thinking, what the hell's in here?
Yeah, yeah. So
pour it, you look at it, it's black and it tastes like a fine port. You ever drink port?
Yeah, but
port is like a
I can't remember what it tastes like.
It's like a fortified wine.
Right, right.
So this particular beer is flat, it's not fizzy.
Isn't a port like a dessert wine?
Yeah, it's a dessert wine. Right, right.
So this is what this beer tastes
exactly like it. You only drink it, you only drink a shot at a time.
Right.
Just one shot of it. So you have basically a one ounce portion. It comes with its own cup, not its own glass. And the glass is a 1 ounce glass. And you pour the Utopias inside this little snifter glass. That's a 1 ounce glass. Anyways, one bottle of Utopias is $149.99.
But you're saying you have one of those on the secondary market. You think you can easily sell it for 300 Canadian.
Easy.
Right.
Easy. This easy. First of all, I can't believe it got into the LCBO this year. I can't believe it. So the LCBO,
is that where you bought it?
Yeah, I ordered it online.
Oh, you ordered it.
So, but I can't order unless the LCBO brings it in.
Got
this
you.
This beer is illegal in some states. My number two beer, Sam Adams Utopias, 28%.
What?
28%. It's a beer. 28%, Dave.
Wow.
Now it packs a punch, buddy. You can't drink a glass of it. You're done.
You're right.
So you're drinking by the ounce, right?
That's why you were saying by the ounce. Yeah. By I was wondering, ounce. Like, why would it matter? Now by I know why. Ounce.
Yeah.
Now I know.
So I end up getting an email or a screenshot of this beer from my wife's cousin. I was in my garage. He says, I just wanted to show you. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, the LCBO has Utopias. So right away, I go to the LCBO website. I order a beer. I call my buddy Joe, $149.99. There's 300 left. Call my buddy Joe. Joe sees it. He goes, oh my goodness, gets two.
Right.
Gets two of them at $149.99. 10 minutes later, I'm talking to Joe. I go, should we get another one? Like, we might never see this again, ever. Okay, let's get another one. I go back on the website. They're gone.
So you didn't get the other one.
I did not get the other one. No. No. And they're illegal in certain states because of the high alcohol.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Obviously. Yeah.
My number one beer, the best beer I've had in my entire life. I will never have a beer better than it.
This is not an exaggeration. This is the best beer you've ever had? The
best beer I've ever had. So there's this small pub in Belgium. The small pub is a pub called Vandergar. It's very narrow and high. And the staircase is this steep staircase, this steep, thin staircase. So we go to this pub called Vandergar. We end up going up the steep staircase. And I notice that if you're on the bottom floor, you can have three of these beers. That's it. If you're on the upper floors, you can only have two. I'm thinking, why is it? Figure out after, because if you have more than two in the upper floors, you can fall and die going down the stairs.
Wow.
So I'm trying this beer and it is fabulous. It has a thick foamy head. It's straw colored. It is fabulous. Fabulous. I go, I can't believe how good this beer is. I go, what's the alcohol on this? Cause I can't tell. I can't tell if it's boozy, not boozy. I'm trying to figure it out. He goes, oh, it's not much. It's only 11.2. I go, what? 11? Dave, you could chug it. You could chug it and then you'll fall and die. Like
that's, that's why.
You cannot, that's 11.2%. You cannot taste the alcohol. It is
right.
So we had our limit upstairs. And then as soon as I stood up, I'm thinking, holy, what's wrong with my, whoa. I can see why there's only two.
Before you announce the number one beer, let's give a little bit of a drum roll, create some excitement.
So it's called Degar by a pub in Belgium called Vandergar. Outstanding.
Can they get it? Can people get it here?
So from what I understand is it's only sold in this one pub. That's it.
Oh,
so I looked it up online and I saw a bottle of it. So I think they bottle a very limited quantity of this particular beer and that's it. I don't know if I'm ever going to get my hands on this.
I was way off. I was thinking it's going to be Coors Light. It's going to be Coors Light. You're
number
one. That's
number six on my list, buddy. It just missed. It just missed. Just missed.
All right. I think it's time for us to wind down and go for our Guess What segment. You know what this is all about. It's a game that we're going to play. And if you win, so it's going to be Card Sharks. You ever play Card Sharks?
I never have, but I'm looking forward to it.
But do you understand the game?
I understand the game.
It's basically a higher or lower game. You're going to have seven cards. I'm going to screen share the card deck so you can see it. Both of us are going to watch in real time. So you know I'm not hijacking the game. Okay. And if you win, I'm going to honor back the favor that you did for me. I'm going to get you a custom-made Tucci Talks mug for winning. And you got me a custom-made years ago. And I'm going to...
Let's go, baby.
And I'm going to return the favor.
I can't wait, baby. Let's go. Let's go. I never get nervous, but I'm pretty nervous right now, man. I don't know why.
All right. So we're going to begin our game of Guess What? I'm going to shuffle the cards. So what I'm going to do is ask a question. If you get it right, we move to the card portion.
Okay.
You only get three strikes and you are out.
And no mug?
No mug.
Can I get the mug anyways?
you drive a tough bargain here. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right, here we go. Question number one. So the answers are going to be either true or false or higher or lower.
Yes.
What?
Oktoberfest is a 200-year-old tradition that wasn't originally a beer festival.
Do I say higher or lower or true and false?
Higher or lower. Oktoberfest is a 200-year-old tradition. Is it a higher than 200-year-old or lower than 200-year-old?
Oktoberfest is higher than 200-year-old.
And you are correct. It is a 204-year-old tradition. The first Oktoberfest was held to honor the marriage of Prince Ludwig and Therese of Saxe-Hildburghausen in 1810.
I knew that.
All right, let's flip the first card.
All right.
And I want people to know that Tony can see. I'm sharing my screen. And it is a three of clubs.
I'm going to go higher, baby.
That's a great call.
I'm going to go higher, baby.
Jack of hearts, you're awesome at this game. Remember, I'm going to let the listeners know. If you get it wrong, you start back to the three. The three is your base card now.
All right, so I got a jack, Wayne. I'm going to go lower.
Lower. Eight of spades. You could freeze here, and we go to the next question.
I'm freezing.
Okay. You have zero strikes.
Okay.
If you would have got that, if you would have said higher, lower, and got it wrong, that would have been one strike. So you have four cards left to go to get to the end of this race. You have zero strikes. Second question, true or false? Adidas recently released a limited edition of vomit-proof sneakers inspired by Oktoberfest.
I'm hoping that's false.
What are you saying?
I'm saying false.
You are incorrect. That is one.
Unbelievable. Are you kidding?
Brutality.
I'm unbelievable.
So that's one strike. Okay.
That's unbelievable.
Next. Higher or lower? Oktoberfest has been canceled 20 times. Is it higher than 20? Or lower than 20?
I'd say it's lower than 20.
That is X number two.
Oh, no.
It has been canceled 24 times. In 200 years, Oktoberfest has only been canceled 24 times. The causes were mainly due to the war and cholera epidemics.
And COVID.
And now COVID. So you know for sure it got canceled this year. For sure.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah. This hurts. Did I say three strikes? Three. I meant four. You get four.
I don't think I'm going to get another one wrong, so I think I'm okay.
You get four strikes.
All right. I like that. Thank you.
So just to reiterate, you have three cards, four left to go. You froze there, so you can never go further back than where you're at right now.
All right.
True or false? During Oktoberfest, traditional visitors wear Bavarian hats. The more tufts of goat hair on your hat, the wealthier you are considered to be.
I would say true.
That is correct. Why did you laugh?
I don't know.
Because I said tufts of goat hair.
I'm just picturing someone with goat hair on their head. I don't know.
All right. Higher, lower, or change that card?
Change that card, please.
That's a good decision. Five of clubs.
I'll go higher.
Higher. Nine of clubs. You could freeze.
I know. I'm going to go lower.
Come on. I hope it's lower. I don't even know what the result is. Eight. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Two more left.
Can I change that card?
No, you can only do one round. You got to. If you freeze, you get a question right, then you can change it.
But I already got two wrong, right?
Yeah, but yeah.
But I get four strikes?
Four strikes.
I want that mug. Okay, I'll freeze.
Freeze it right there. So now you answer a question. If you get it right, you could change the card.
Okay.
Higher or lower? Why are you laughing?
I'm already laughing. Just anticipating the question. I don't know.
Higher or lower? Beer prices at Oktoberfest, we're talking Munich, start at 15 USD. Is it higher or lower than $15 USD for beer prices? Come on, you should know this, especially when you went to that Belgian beer festival.
Yeah, but they sell it. But they sell the beers there by the liter sometimes.
This is the price of 1 liter of beer.
Big mugs. I would say
this lower. Is the price of 1 liter of beer.
I would say lower.
You are correct. 12, yes. 12 USD.
Yes.
Good job. Good job, Toe. I'm proud of you. So what do you want to do?
Can I change that card, please?
You can change that card. Absolutely. Here we go. But you can only change it once. So if it's another 8, you got to go.
Right.
Because now you freeze over there anyway. Oh, 2 of diamonds.
Higher.
5 of diamonds.
Higher.
You did it. Good job. You get a custom Tucci Talks mug. I want to congratulate you on your victory.
Thank you.
The other two questions I had were true or false. There is an on-site Red Cross tent. Is that true or false?
I would assume that's true.
And you would have been correct there. True or false, more than 6 million attend Oktoberfest annually and employs around 13,000 people.
True.
And you would have been correct there. So you probably would have done it. And you didn't even need 4 strikes. You did it
2 strikes, baby. 2 strikes.
just to end off quickly, are there any books on beer that you've read or you don't really need to do that?
I have a few books actually, but they're basically just they're guides to Belgian beers, for example, and they'll list the top 200 Belgian beers with their flavor profiles, their smell, and a little history behind them. There's tons of books out there so they're basically field guides to beers. You hold a beer in your hand and you can look at this book and read up a little bit about it. Now, there are some one particular excellent website that I like looking at. I think it's excellent. It's a website called Beer Advocate. So you can have a beer, for example, like right now, I have Lindemans Udgus. So okay. If I look up Lindemans Udgus Beer Advocate, it will give me a rating of the beer along with profiles of the beer and people who have tried.
Okay, what am I looking at a rating? What does the rating mean?
So I'm going to look up. So it's out of 100. So the rating's out of 100. So I'm going to look up exactly what this particular beer is rated on Beer Advocate. Now, Beer Advocate is a little bit, I guess it's a little bit biased because I think it's an American site. So they'll rate American beers a little higher than maybe what
European beers or
comparing them to Belgian beers and stuff.
What about Canadian beers? You never mentioned, you're Canadian and you never mentioned anything about Canadian beers.
Some of them are excellent. Because I'm from here, I get to sample a whole bunch of different Canadian beers and Canadian breweries. Again, some of them are legitimately almost like world class.
Gotcha.
Maybe the best beer in Toronto, the best in my opinion,
yeah,
one of the best breweries in Toronto is called Bellwoods Brewery. Outstanding. So they have world class beers for the particular style they make. Excellent beers. But again, there's a lot of the craft breweries are.
Right. Yeah.
So let me see what Beer Advocate says about the beer that I've been drinking here. So, no, that's not the one. So the beer that I'm drinking right now has a rating of 92 and it's considered outstanding.
Okay.
So it will tell you a score out of 100. It will tell you if it's outstanding, very good, etc. It will give you some information, and then it will give you people's takes on the beer and what they've rated the beer at. Excellent site, Beer Advocate.
Thank you for that. Toe, you know what? This was so much fun. I really had a good time. And I'm glad you got the custom-made mug.
That was the best part of this, Dave.
It's going to take some time for me to create, but I'm going to return the favor that you, the present you gave to me at Christmas some, I don't know, 9 years ago.
I remember. I remember.
Thanks for coming on. Thanks for coming on, brother.
Thanks, buddy. Anytime.
You know we're going to have to do this again.
It's a blast. I love it. I can't wait.
Awesome. All right. Cheers.
Have a good one. Cheers, Dave. Thank you.
I truly hope you enjoyed today's episode and you had as much fun listening as I had delivering the content. It was truly a festive episode, And in the spirit of festivity, I would like to wish my Canadian friends a happy Thanksgiving. Make sure to celebrate safely. Don't forget the crazy karaoke. It would pain me to have 2 weeks without a shout out. Email me, david@TucciTalks75.com, or contact me on Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter @TucciTalks75. We will be celebrating the next few episodes of Tucci Talks with female guests as we commemorate Women's History Month. Next week, we'll be focusing our theme on faith formation with a young lady that is mature beyond her years. Hopefully, we can challenge some of our own shortcomings as individuals with the goal to continually shape our beliefs each day with an open mind and an open heart. Until then, friends, like the content, subscribe, please leave a review. Enjoy the holiday to my fellow Canadians, and for my beautiful American neighbors, stay safe, wear a mask, social distance. Let's try and keep these cases down as the U.S. is reporting over 50,000 new cases for the first time since mid-March. Please, please, please be good. And if you're feeling down, just remember to add, oh yeah, a little funk to your day. We'll be right back.